Welcome to The Wayne Nicholson Show, where our guests share their fascinating stories. If you have any questions or would like to DM us, we would love to hear from you. We also have a YouTube channel and a Facebook page.
This episode is brought to you by Egypt Fun Tours. Now, I always said if Indiana Jones was to take a tour throughout Egypt, then Egypt Fun Tours would be the company he would book through. I can vouch personally, having booked this company when traveling to Egypt in 2019. If you are looking for a professionally guided service, which is knowledgeable, fun, and sometimes off the beaten track, then you can't beat Egypt Fun Tours. You see, my wife and I went with the private tour, which was personalized to our own interests and needs, which you can do with Egypt Fun Tours. We traveled from the south, visiting beautiful Abu Simbel, right up to the magical Alexandria. We got to spend alone time, would you believe, in the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid, as well as camping with the Bedouins in the White Desert. We learned how to read hieroglyphs, and we visited the beautiful temples of Abydos and Dendera, which sometimes is not included on tours. So for more information on Egypt Fun Tours, check out their Facebook page, Egypt Fun Tours, or their website, egyptfuntours.com. This episode is also brought to you by Delhi's Continental. From just one pop-up and one sandwich, their reputation spread quickly, selling out whatever they prepared in 20 minutes. Boasting their continental rolls are the best in Australia, with every ingredient fresh and made in-house. Now, within months, these two owners, Steb McCluder and Aldo Putsu, had already graced the pages of magazines, websites, and newspapers. Rumours are now stirring that this could be big. If you are interested in what all the fuss is about, and you are lucky enough to live in Perth, Western Australia, why not head down to Delhi's Continental, number 2/861 Beaufort Street, Inglewood, with their grand opening set to be this summer 2021. For more information, you can check out their Instagram and Facebook page, Delhi's Continental. My guest today is Tammy Anna Louise Habick. She comes from Newcastle in New South Wales. Her childhood, instead of resembling that of the other kids in the neighbourhood, is more reminiscent of that of the young boy in The Sixth Sense. Her first experience came at a very early age when she witnessed a dead man hanging in the tree in her back garden. At first, of course, she was repelled by the fear, but now in her late 40s, she is now a well-known paranormal investigator with the hopes and goals of helping others. This podcast is her story. Okay, Tammy, we have Tammy on today. Finally, we get you on the podcast. Ever since I first met you, I thought you'd be a really interesting person to talk to, because I remember we had quite a bit in common when we spoke about experiences, and obviously not as much, but I do remember, you know, subtleties of when experiencing something we can't explain. Like, I kept hearing a high pitch tone, a whine. And I remember you saying, oh, yes. And see, no one else for me, when I've explained that story, actually understood, or even if they've had experience, they never got that. And I thought, oh, Tammy would be an interesting person.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
Because normally with investigators or people that are into this industry, something happens, there's like a turning point when they're young, that they experience something, whether it terrifies them to death or it's something they can't explain, but it sort of builds, it plants a seed in them, and eventually they just, you know, they turn into somebody who wants to know more.
Yeah.
And I always find those stories are really, really interesting. So
yes, like you were just given the gift.
Was it?
Yeah. I lived in a place in Liverpool in New South Wales. And from memory, when we first got there, there was no major issues. But then all of a sudden I seen this man hanging from the tree all the time. I saw my brother get attacked while he was sleeping.
Okay, explain more. So this was a house you were in?
Yes, it was like a duplex. So we lived in one section and somebody else lived in the other section. I don't remember when it started to kick in, but then I started seeing this man hanging from the wall, hanging in the tree. And
In the back garden?
Yeah, in the tree, right out the, like, where my bedroom window was.
God.
He would always be, I could see him in the tree. And I'd tell my mum and she'd be like, Anyway, as years went on, like so many things happened in
the
house.
How old were you?
I was probably 4, turning 5.
And how did that feel? Like,
it was scary.
You knew it was
scary.
A dead body hanging from a tree, and you knew you were the only one. Why wasn't anyone else seeing this?
I have no idea. My mum thought I was a nut, I think, because she picked me up in the middle of the night and threw me out into the tree, because it was that bad that I think it just, I think it scared her more than it. Like, I was petrified. And the things that I saw happen, it was like, oh, man, we had animals in this place that wouldn't last 24 hours and they just suddenly died. So many bad things happened. My brother, I not long ago got into like contact with him and we had a bit of a discussion, and he was the one that, I mean, it's pretty graphic, and he told me a few things and I thought, geez, I didn't know that, because I saw the man hanging from the tree.
From your bedroom?
Yeah.
You said it was quite graphic that you didn't expect. What was that?
It was, okay, my brother told me, he goes, do you remember the Liverpool house? And I went, oh, how could I not? You know, so much stuff happened in there. He reckons he saw something happen to a man out in the tree, and my dad was involved in it. Yeah, he said, what happened? I won't go into detail as to what happened. And he said, the minute it happened, he said, I felt like it's like something sat on my chest and I just wasn't right from then on. And his life went down the drain. He always had bad luck. There was one particular night we were sleeping and I felt this thing walk into the, like come into the presence of the bedroom, and I'm like, oh my God. So I look out the window and I didn't see him in the tree. And then my brother was sleeping on his stomach and he had his hand hanging over the bed. So within a split second, I've looked out the window, looked to my brother, and his arm was straight up in the air. And I'm just like, what the? And his arm just got slammed down into the wooden floorboards. And, yeah, that was not good.
Oh, my God. And, yeah. you were 6, so your brother?
No, I would have been about 5. He would have been 6, turning 7.
When it slammed to the ground, what do you remember? Did he wake up?
Or? Yeah, he woke up straight away. And I'm just screaming my head off. And mum comes in and picks him up, takes him back to her room, and I'm left in the room. And that was scary.
So that was your first experience?
That was the first one I ever had, yeah.
And did that ever get explained to you, like the guy in the tree?
By my brother, from what he remembers that he states he saw, my dad did something to some man, and which I kind of believe, because up until that point, like, I don't remember seeing no man in the tree until obviously he saw something. I saw the aftermath of it. The house was demolished years later, and I remember my dad said, oh, do you remember the Liverpool house? And I went, Jesus, how could I not, you know? He said, yeah, well, when it was demolished, they found the skeletal remains of a man in the wall.
Oh, you're joking.
No. It was bad. It was toxic.
Oh, God.
Yep.
And so that was your first experience. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because my sister, who's not with us anymore, but my sister, when she was 3, she saw, we lived in a 100-year-old house in London.
Oh, wow.
You know, it still had all the servants' bells and, you know, from back in the day. And every night she'd wake up in a cot and point to the corner of the room saying, man with big watch, man with big watch. And this story is, like, so famous around our family. And so what happened was it freaked my parents out, because every night she would stand up and point to the corner of the room and go, man, big watch, man with big watch. So my dad, not knowing what to do at work, he was telling this story, and this guy said, look, I know someone that could come to the house and maybe he does this sort of stuff.
Yep.
So without knowing, my mum and my grandmother and my sister was in a high chair around the table, and this knock on the door. So this guy comes in and he says, oh, look, I've been speaking to your husband. He sent me. Apparently your daughter's having some problems in the house and she's seeing someone. And my mum was like, yes, it's happening in the bedroom every night. So he turned around and he goes, do you have any raw rice? And so mum goes, really? And she goes, yes. So he took some raw rice and he walked around the dining table where they were sitting, and he was just saying something to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he sprinkled this rice and then he went back to work. And so my mum and my grandmother were like, what the hell is this? And they were like, it's happening in the bedroom, not here. He goes, look, I don't think your daughter shouldn't have any more problems. If she does, just let me know.
Mm-hmm.
So when my dad got home in the afternoon, my mum was like, what kind of shit is this? Like, who did you send to our place?
Yeah.
And he goes, no, you know what happened? He came back to work and he said the minute he walked in, because he didn't know, my dad wasn't specific with what he told him. And this guy said to my dad, he goes, the minute I walked in, I saw your family at the table and there was like this young English soldier with just a pair of shorts on. No clothes, just a pair of shorts and a big watch. And he was looking over your daughter. And all I did is I said to him, look, the young girl can see you. You're scaring the young girl. I know you're fond of her, but she's getting scared. Can you please leave? And, you know, after that.
He left?
He left. But then that was the start of like an avalanche of stuff that my sister experienced.
Oh, wow.
She experienced like a guy sitting in the bathtub with no arms and legs with a big beard that kept every time she was in this old toilet, you know, she just didn't want to open her eyes. And whenever she opened her eyes, this guy would be in the bathtub, just this stub with this head. And then he would just look at her with this beard and she would scream all the time. It just kept happening. So I know my sister, when she got older, she was investigating a bit more, like talking to people. And so I know I have that. My sister was quite similar in that way. But did it build from that experience of the guy in the tree?
Yeah. I've had experiences ever since.
Wow.
Yep. There was one. We lived in another townhouse in Kingswood in New South Wales. And I used to see this girl, probably about 10 years old, with a puppy dog, because we had a staircase that went up and spiraled and it went up and then there was a banister. So I'd go up there and she always was staring at me. She never blinked. She'd just stare at me. And then I was the kind of kid that if I had a bedroom, I had to have curtains because I'd freak out.
Why? Because the man in the tree?
Yeah, like it was – there's been a lot. And the minute I walked past her and into the bedroom, I felt fine, like safe, nothing can hurt me, everything's great. And, I mean, I used to get into trouble and then they'd say, go up to your room, and I'd be like, no, I'm good, I don't want to go up there, because she was there every time. No one else could see her. And then it got to the point where I was just like refusing to go up to that bedroom. And then my mum went to the next door neighbour, Betty, who'd been there for like years. She said, I think I have to take Tammy to a psych. And the lady goes, what's going on? She said, oh, she claims to see a little girl with a puppy dog standing over the banister, but feels perfectly okay when she goes into a room. And she said, oh, well, a girl around that age died of cancer in the bedroom of that room. And every time I was in that room, I felt fine. She wasn't there when I was in the room, but whenever I came up to the room, I'd see her.
What, now, when you see her, does she look like somebody that you see normally, or is it like people?
No, they're very they're very still when I see them. They're still and they stare, like they don't blink.
So what do you mean? Like, are they physically there? Like, for I know what
it's hard to explain, because
you know, normal people would think that don't know.
Yeah.
Are they translucent or whatever, or do they just look like you and me, but there's something strange about it?
That. Like, sometimes they're translucent, sometimes they're not, but it just has that odd vibe about it.
Oddity.
Like, it just doesn't seem, this isn't the norm.
God.
But sometimes it's like my mind switches off and then I can see it's really weird and it's hard to explain it, but it's like I've got a different projector in my head and I can see it.
I wonder, is that like a third eye, you know, people... People say that, that.
Well, that's what it would be.
Or something opened up when you were a kid.
I don't know.
Do you believe you're born with it? Or do you believe something happens that opens that window?
I think you can be born with it. And I was probably seeing them a lot younger, but I just don't remember. But since that Liverpool house, ever since.
From that, Tammy, what's some of the other experiences before we get to the actual investigative of what made you want to investigate it? What are some of the other experiences that have happened? Because I know you've got two sons.
Yep.
And one of the sons sees as well.
Yep. And my eldest son, I've been waiting for him to say, "Mom, I've seen a ghost." And the other week he said, I saw a ghost in the lounge room at his girlfriend's house. And I thought, okay, what did it look like? Because I'd not picked anything up when I was like, I've been there. He said, "I thought it was Leggy," which is my two-year-old grandson. And he's just standing there and he thought, "That's a bit strange. What's he doing?" So he said, "Leggy." And then he heard Leggy run out from the bedroom and this spirit that pretty much looked like my grandson turned around and looked at my son. So they're staring at each other and they just disappeared.
Wow.
He goes, "I've not experienced it," but, yeah, that one sort of freaked me out a bit.
You're freaked out because you're seeing something odd, right?
Yep.
But there's no harmful intent yes. that comes with that.
Yes.
But then you see something that has this viciousness to it. I mean, I've experienced that once. There was a guy outside. I was going in to get a coffee and I looked over out the kitchen window. There was a big bay window. And there was a guy pacing. And this is in the middle of the night, pacing back and forth, just looking at me with... It looked like he just wanted to beat me to death. Like that's the look he had in his face. And all I did is I stopped because I don't know what came over me, but I stopped. And I don't normally tell these stories, right?
Yeah.
And I looked straight at him and I said, "Get the fuck out of my house."
Oh, was
he was outside, but I just said, "Get the fuck out of my house. You are not going to harm me, and no matter how much you try, you're not going to do it." And then he went.
Was that like an attachment or did he just appear?
Well, I went into the – because I used to have to pass the living room to get to the kitchen. So I was on my way to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I saw this person and I thought it to me unreal. It wasn't a ghost. It was a person
yes.
that was out there. And then it sort of hit me that there's – you know that, like you said, there's an oddity.
Yeah. You feel it.
You feel it. And yeah. I just stopped and I looked at him and he's pacing, just keeping his eye on me as he's pacing up and down with this vicious intent to kill me. I just felt this guy hated me for some reason and I just stopped and said, "Get the fuck out of my house. You're not going to hurt me no matter how much you try and go," you know, and then it went.
That's bizarre.
A lot of stuff happened in the house and so I remember telling – I didn't tell my wife straight away, but I told her afterwards.
Yeah.
But that was an eerie thing because I knew – because the other things that happened to me were more mischievous, you know.
Yes.
Like you could tell these – like physical things.
Yes.
Where I explained it on the podcast before. I had a cabinet that held all my photography gear and every night they would be running over my roof tiles.
Yes. Yes, I remember.
And the fourth night, I didn't move. I didn't go out to investigate. My whole cabinet just started shaking. Now, that was the first time something physical.
Yeah.
As in not just with me, not like holding me down, not, you know, those things have happened. But this is something that's an object in the room.
Yeah.
Physically shook, and it wasn't a light shake. I could hear I could hear my camera gear just being thrown about inside this cabinet. But even then, I remember feeling there wasn't any intent of harm or bad. You know, you just feel this sort of bad feeling.
Yep, I sure do.
And horrible, you know. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't that. It was more of a mischievous feel, like somebody was just trying to get my attention.
Yep.
Scared the fuck out of me. I'm not going to say it didn't. I'm not going to say, I was calm. I ran. I literally ran.
Yeah.
I was 1 o'clock in the morning. I ran, grabbed my wife, and I said to her, "Something's in the house. We're going."
Yeah.
And I remember we left and we went out the front of the house and she was like, "Do you think it was a rat or something?" I said, "It'd be a
It
would have been a massive rat if it was." But, you know, that was the first time something physical
happened.
Did
you find out what it was?
Yeah, well, I did. We call this lady, you know, people say, "I don't believe in ghosts, but I hope to hell I never come across one in my life."
Because it will change your thoughts.
Yeah, well, to us it was like, well, before all of that, I knew stuff had happened to my family, but we were just trying to get any help we could. It's not like you can just pick up a phone and go, hi, we need a help for extermination. You've called the Ghostbusters.
Yep, I know. Yes. So
this lady came and she did something with the house. Again, we didn't tell her where it happened.
Yeah.
And we were all waiting at the front. And then she came out the front and she said, look, your house is fine except that room. And she pointed to that room that it happened. She goes, it's nothing bad. It's just that I felt, she didn't see, but she goes, I felt there's a little kid in there and all he wants to do is play. And if something happened and if it did happen in that room, don't feel bad. Like I don't think he's going to bother you again because of whatever she did. But she goes, there's a little kid there that just needs attention, that wants to play. And straight away, I just felt this sadness, you know. But there's a difference between those experiences and experiences of there's a hatred to the
you
feeling.
You can definitely pick it up.
Have you had that?
Yep. If I've been somewhere and it's like not a good thing, it's like,
Tell me.
We lived in another townhouse in Ed's in Campbelltown, New South Wales, and everything was fine, like. And then I'd be swimming in the backyard and I could just sense this horrible thing looking at me from my bedroom window. So I ignored it thinking, you know, it could be my imagination, blah, blah. Anyway, it wasn't. I'd see it in the corner of the staircase every time. There was one particular night. It was in the middle of summer. No air, no nothing. It was so hot. And we had timber floorboards. And the lounge room, above the lounge room was my mum's room. And we're just sitting there and I had that feeling because me and my brother were washing up and drying up. And I'm like, just wait, don't leave. He's like, Bucky, I'm out. So I'm like hurrying up and then I ran to the lounge room because I could feel something was going to happen. And I'm sitting there, just sitting there thinking, nothing's happened yet. And then we heard, Mum had massive big cupboards in a bedroom and we heard it get pushed from one corner to the middle of the room. And we're like looking at each other and we're thinking, oh, God. Mum goes to my stepdad, Gary, there's somebody upstairs. So I was like.
So everybody heard
it. Everyone heard it. And then it went from the middle to the other side of the room like a heavy, you know what it sounds like when you push a cupboard on floorboards? That's what happened and was like, and my stepdad goes, all right, we'll go up there. So there's my dad, my mum, my brother and me and I'm like at the end going up the staircase. And when we got there, nothing was moved, not one thing. I've even had them ring the home phone. Spirits.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And there was another time I was at school and Mum comes, because we used to come home from school for lunch, and she said, did you come home from school today? I went, no. Why? She goes, oh, no. So I was up in bed and I heard my mum say to my stepdad, oh, I thought Tammy came home from school today for lunch. He goes, why? He goes, because they bought me a Buddy Elf typewriter. And she said, I heard that thing going off like a trooper in her bedroom. And I'm like,
So it's really based on, is it because you see and you feel that you think you're, do you think that's what attracts these lost souls or spirits or whatever you want to call it to you?
Well, it's always happened. My mum used to call me the ghost magnet. And every psychic I go to, they say the same thing. You're a ghost magnet. You just got this beacon that goes boom, 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 and you can't turn it off. You don't know how to turn it off.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I think I can.
I should have hosted this podcast in another location.
No, I think you're pretty safe. Just tell them to go home. Just tell them to get out.
Yeah, yeah. Can you follow Tammy?
Yeah, please.
Please go. You know?
Just follow me. Come back with me.
Have you had anything physical happen to you?
Yeah. Yeah. I was working in a school. I won't say the name of the school. And there was a particular room. You go, like I'd work in the home science because I was just cleaning it. And then, it's okay feeling. I went to the middle room thinking, ew, it's getting stronger. And then I went into the sewing room and I could always hear the noise. Like, and I even got the ladies, like, can you hear that? And they're like, no. And I'm thinking, okay. So I'm vacuuming and I could hear it in, like, breathing over my shoulder, like right in my ear. So I'm ignoring it and never ignore a ghost when they know you can see them. Trust me, just don't do it. And I'm thinking, no, I'm just go away, leave me alone. and I'm vacuuming the carpet and my cord was in a straight line going through the middle of the tables and chairs. And I'm just vacuuming and I heard this guttural growl in my left ear and I said to myself, if this thing touches me, I'm out. And it felt like something grabbed the back of my vacuum cord and tugged, because I fell back and I held onto the desk. And when I looked back, the cord was still in a straight line. I thought, no, that's it, I'm out. And even in my home, I had a ceiling fan that wasn't even wired up. Like, you couldn't use it. And I woke up one morning thinking, what is that noise? And it was my ceiling fan going mental. TVs would turn on, turn off. Things were just... And I went, you know what? I can't come back. They all thought I was crazy. And no, I can't come back. So things like that. And I'm trying to think. My mum and that used to have a lot of seances.
Yeah, that's right. That, there's a problem right there.
So many. I've seen my brother get attacked in a seance, not once but twice. So, and the other thing was we so-called contacted my sister. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that's great. And I remember my mum saying, don't get too involved in it because it might not be your sister. And I'm thinking, well, why are you telling me this stuff? Because I was still young.
Mm-hmm.
Went to bed that night and, well, because we had a bit of a tough life, so we were in like a refuge, and the upstairs room was the attic and there was a little window right at the end, right? So no air could come in. And I'm laying there and I felt, and I believed it was my sister because I could go by feel, and it was sitting above, sort of like hovering just here, and my hair, somebody had like a little hand and put their hand through my hair and I could feel my hair go up and drop, up and drop. And it was a lukewarm feel with the motion of it, and I freaked and it just disappeared just like that.
I had a job whenever... like say, I won't say the company, but yeah, a big mining company here, mm-hmm, would, whenever they would go up and they would want to excavate a land,
mm-hmm,
to sort of, you know, put the geophysics in there and see whether they've got minerals and things like, mm-hmm, that. It was quite sad, but what they would do is they would meet with the Indigenous elders and we would all go through this land like step by step, and we'd have archaeologists, anthropologists. But I was there to film it because, mm-hmm, they needed a record of that. And any artifacts they'd find, they would collect, record it. But they'd do this ceremony to move. It's like their ancestors. They would move these artifacts to a new land. And every now and then, mm-hmm, I'd have a tripod and my tripod legs would get kicked out.
Oh, wow. Me.
Yeah. And, you know, it was just part and parcel, would you, yep, believe, of the job. Because the people there were like, that's what happens here,
yes,
you know. And it was these, like, what was weird is there would be like these like blonde-haired anthropologists and archaeologists just going, oh, Wayne, it's nothing. That happens all the time. And I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
I was like, this is just freaking me out. Like every now and then I'd feel my tripod go. I'd feel myself getting pushed.
Oh, wow.
And... but the biggest thing was we went up to do a documentary on a family that lived just in the middle of in the bush,
mm-hmm,
and they had like three generations and four generations. So literally you had the oldest, which was nearly 100, then their daughters that was the stolen generation, then daughters, and then they would have young babies. So it was amazing to see. But in, you know, we were on female land. And apparently no males had ever gone on that land. And we got a call in a panic in Perth saying two women have pulled out, a director and a sound person. Wayne, do you think, can you fly out tomorrow? And I was like, well, okay, but do you know any sound people? So I recommended the guy that was actually with me at the time. You know, I just said, yeah, he's standing in front of me. And my friend's looking at me going, what? He didn't know I was going to drag him on this documentary. But, you know, one night things would happen to us, just to me and this guy. Like, we would have all our swags and sleeping bags on the ground in the tent. We'd come back and only our swags would be covered in bull ants. Only our swags, like all the other swags are right next to us, but only our swags are full of bull ants. But anyway, this weird feeling happened, and it was the most, would you believe, the most beautiful night. Like, we were lying around a campfire, and there was a canopy of trees with bright stars over that. And, you know, every night they would tell us stories, and there'd be this campfire stories of the stars and do you know what we believe and, you know, that stuff I love.
Yeah.
And so we all went to bed. The next morning we were filming, and I heard this lady go, "Are you going to tell Wayne what happened last night?" And this old lady, her name was, I think, of a Daisy, I think her name was. And she had white hair, and, you know, her face was like a little prune, but she was the cutest lady, you know.
Yeah.
And she said that in the middle of the night, the young fella, his name, I won't say his name, but he woke up with the sound of these ladies crying, and they were circling us. This crying would be circling us. Apparently they all got up. They knew what it was. Because before we got on this land, they had to give us a smoking ceremony to sort of tell the ancestors that these men mean no harm.
Yeah.
They're coming here. Please leave them alone. But they also respect you, you know. But we heard this crying. And so that night, we were washing ourselves, and we were about 20 meters away, and this lady just turned, while they were talking around the campfire, she just turned and stared at us for about 5 minutes. And I said to my friend, I said, "Are we making too much noise?" He goes, "I don't think so." Mm-hmm. That's the night the crying happened. So the next day she says, when you boys were over there, I looked over and I knew we had a problem, because these two female spirits had attached themselves to you and Steph. And I could see them sitting next to you. That's why I was staring. Last night we woke up with crying.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, she's saying this on camera. My friend's holding the boom mic and he's shaking now because he's the biggest wuss ever. And I remember looking at him and his eyes were like saucers just looking at me going, "What the fuck?" And so what they had to do is they had to call the neighbouring tribes, like the mobs.
Yep.
They all had to come and perform this ceremony because they said, "If we don't do that, they're going to follow you home."
Mm. And it's always fun.
The crying apparently was they had lost their loved ones. Aww. Like, it could be hundreds of years ago. And you and Steve were the first males to come on this land since.
Oh, so they've just latched on.
They've latched on. So they gave us this whole ceremony. And I remember driving, we were driving back to Broome, and we left this station, but we stopped. And my friend got out of the car to close the gate, and he stood there. And I remember him saying, "Look, please leave us alone."
Yes.
"Please leave us alone. You know, I have a nice life." And my friend, he's married. So, you know, like, "We didn't mean you any harm. We didn't mean to come here, but please, can you stay here?" And apparently when we got back to Broome, we told, you know, these women that what they were taking us through the family, what we had done. And they said that was the best thing you could do.
Yep.
But even then, I came back to Perth just going, "God,
it's
what's happened,
you know?" It's exhausting too, you know, like,
I think this more than anything is exhausting because
people
just look at you with this blank face.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like if you're suffering a disease that is taking all your energy, you can go get it checked and there's a prognosis and a diagnosis and, this is what you have. And then everyone goes, "Oh, you poor thing." With stuff like this, it's like the Haley Joel Osment character in The Sixth Sense, right? It's like no one, you know, you can't go to anyone. You must have had that so much more than me, you know, as in those things happening, you know.
Well, I kind of didn't really tell a lot of people either. You know, I kept a lot of it to myself. What I saw, I kept. What I felt, I kept. Unless it was brought up in conversation. Even at that school, there were ladies like, "Oh, you know, there's some things that goes on at this school." And I didn't say nothing because I'm not saying a word. And then they said, especially the sewing room. And that's when I would bring it up. "Oh, well, while we're on this topic, this is what's been happening." And because I'd walk past the the windows at the school because I had to walk past them to get to my car.
Sure.
And then we're walking past and the lady goes, did you close the windows? I went, mm-hmm, I did. And they never believed me. They always thought it was me. And then I got changed to the science room because I wasn't going back in there. And this other lady went in there and we walked around the same thing and I said, forgot to close the windows. And she said, no, I didn't. I said, well, now you know what I'm saying. It would just, windows would stay open. We would close them, but they would stay open. Yep. I walked into one area of this school and I thought, oh, my God, have I just walked into like some where they're having like a meeting? Because it was like Grand Central Station for me. I could hear everything. And I'm like, where are these people? So I looked around thinking I didn't want to walk into, you know, a meeting or whatever. There was no one there. And I'm like, ah, oh, that's what's going on. Because it takes me a little while to even things. I'm like, okay, I get it after the fact. But, yeah, always.
And so have you met many people like you?
No. No, a lot of people through that page where I try to find people. Oh, yeah, we're so, you know, we're like that. I said, well, I want someone that's got a passion.
Yeah.
That not someone that goes, well, I might have saw a ghost last week, but I'm not real sure. Yeah. I want someone that feels it and knows it and wants it as much as I do. Why I still want it?
Crazy. Like, I remember when I met you.
Yeah.
And you said, Wayne, come on, like, come down with us. And yes. I said, look.
I was begging, please.
I believe in this.
Yeah.
But I don't want to attract anything in my life. And it's not because I don't believe. It's because I believe, you know. And for me, I'm just like, Tammy, what do you – because it's happened to you. Like, that's something.
A lot.
So what made you then want to become, like, I want to investigate this. I want to be a paranormal investigator that goes out. Why do you need to prove anything to anybody?
See, that's the thing. I don't really need to prove it to anybody else. I will experience something and I'm like, oh, wow, that's just mad. But then I'm like, I need more. It's like an addiction. With me, it's like an addiction. Do that again. Can you move this?
Oh, Jesus.
You know, that's what I'm like. I just, you know, in my house, I switch all the lights off, walk around the house. If I got to get a drink, it's pitch black. I don't care. You know, it doesn't affect me.
Mm.
Maybe because I build up a resilience to it.
I think you do.
You know?
Mm.
But I love it.
It is a drug.
It is.
What that
to
feeling,
me it is.
That feeling.
Mm.
Do you believe that things that come to you have messages for you or they're just random souls?
There was only one message I got from one spirit. I was around a group of people and this one particular friend would only appear when this particular friend was around. And I'm thinking, why do I see this? I used to see like a apple tree with no apples on it and it was a big field of grass and like a fence and she's just standing there and she's pointing to her pants like her slacks. I'm thinking, I don't get it. And then I said to this person, have you had someone recently passed? And this person goes, well, relatively, yeah. I said, because it might be you that it's coming in. And he said, well, who is it? I said, well, there's a lady. She's probably about 60 years old. She's got like white hair, curly hair, and she's just standing there, but she keeps pointing to her pants. And he says, well, what were the pants? I said, slacks. You know, just mention slacks. This person will know pretty much who I am. And he just looked at me like, are you serious? I went, mm-hmm, I am. You know, so if it's you, can we just like let this go away? And his mum passed away 3 months prior of breast cancer, and all she ever wore was slacks. I said, so the message is for you. And it's basically, she's fine, she's great, she's happy, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was like, what the?
So tell me, what do you believe happens when we pass through?
Yeah, well, I think it's just the spirit realm. I'm not overly big on religion.
The same.
You know, because a lot of people go this, and I'm like, it's all a form of control. I just believe that the spirit goes to the spirit world and because I believe that's where we've come from, you know. And everyone's got the wrong idea on life, you know, I've got to do this, but that's not really who we are.
Mm.
We're all spiritual beings, and, yeah, that's what I reckon, because I even came out of my body when my son was 4.
Astro travel?
4, yeah. Yeah, I was really stressed. It's never happened since, and because he was newly diagnosed as type 1 diabetes, and it was so stressful. And I remember laying in bed thinking, I've got to get up. And the next thing, I'm in the doorway and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what is this? Because I felt free. I had no worry. All the stress and burden are gone and I was light as a feather. I could do anything. And I remembered going and it's weird because I thought I'd gone and checked my son's sugar levels and they read 6.3, right? And then I'm like, I'm in the room and then I've looked at the foot of the bed and I saw myself and I thought, oh, my God, who's that? And then when I saw myself, the next thing I was back in my body and I felt like I had a ton of bricks on me. Like in comparison to how you feel in the spirit world as you do grounded. And I went and checked my son's levels and they were 6.3. So,
yeah, I've heard – I had a friend that is a camera person. She's a DP. And one day she said she was lying down and – she suddenly got lifted, whoosh, and she said she just kept going.
Mm.
And all of a sudden she came back down.
Mm-hmm.
This is the exact words, but she landed next to herself.
Oh, wow.
And she looked at herself like this, just sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
And she started to scream because she started to panic.
Yes.
You don't know what's happening.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden she was back in herself and she woke up. And she said, nothing like that has ever happened. Yep. And she couldn't explain it, you know.
No.
I'm like you. I believe that nobody really knows. Like people like to put things in categories of religion and things like that. And I'm, you know, look, if religion makes you a better person, so
then go for it.
Then so be it, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone can say for sure what happens afterwards. No. And like I believe humans, we're just not that evolved in our thinking yet.
Yes.
You think we've only been here 250,000 years.
Yeah.
You know, if there are multiple dimensions and levels and things that are so beyond our comprehension, look, in 1,000 years we may know more.
Yeah.
If we live that long. But I'm saying, I'm just saying that, you know, it's part of that evolution of understanding.
Because we're all energy.
Yeah, we are. That
you
I
turn
believe.
That light off, doesn't die. It just goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. That's how I see it.
Well, somebody, a high school teacher, told us about Carillion photography. And what it was is, you know, you photograph with, I think it's like an infrared, it's sort of rays. And if you cut a leaf and you take half the leaf away, the photography comes up with the whole leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take it again, it will be the whole leaf. It's like the energy that was held there. And that's what I believe. I believe that we are energy.
Yeah.
I mean,
we are.
And energy can be broken down into mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy said to me once, I said, why the hell do you do mathematics for fun? And that's what he used to do on the weekend. I'm like, are you fucking crazy? And he said, Wayne, he goes, do you believe in ghosts and stuff? And I said, well, yeah, I do because of what I've experienced. And he goes, well, that can be broken down. Energy can be broken down in mathematics.
Yeah.
So he said that it's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can discuss energy, but you only understand energy through mathematics in a scientific way. And I went, never thought of that before, you know.
Mm.
My fear is I always said that when I die, I'd like to go somewhere. If I'm hanging around, it means something is wrong.
That's right.
So when
unfinished business or your emotions are attached to something there.
Yeah. And you know,
not free.
Before my sister passed away, I used to joke with her like for a year and I said, look, don't come around because then I know you're not anywhere, you know, that you should be. You're worried about us. But if you do have a message, come in my dream or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? And she did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She did. It was the best dream I ever had. I literally walked into my parents' house from the back because everyone comes in through the back.
Yeah.
And everyone congregates in the kitchen, like probably so many houses. And my mum was at the sink and my dad was at the cooker. And I walked in looking at them and suddenly I hear this, hello. And I looked at the table. My sister's sitting at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like this. Her face is like this. She always did this. And she goes, I just want to let you know I'm fine. I'm happy. I'm happy. And Mister, she used to call me, and Mister, so much for coming in your dreams. You don't bloody dream.
Oh, do you not?
Well, I hadn't dreamt for a while. And that was the first time I dreamt. And she and then I just looked. I was frozen. Yeah. And I looked over at my mum and dad and I went, can you see, Fern? And then mum goes, and my dad, and mum turned around and she goes, that's why we called you here. And then I looked back and my sister was there like this, smiling, and then I woke up.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, ever since that, whether you believe that that was a message or it was just purely a subconscious dream, it put me at peace.
I think it was more than just a dream.
Well, I do. Yeah. I do. But I'm saying for the listeners out there,
yep.
It was a comforting feeling. Like one is that.
And you know.
I knew.
Yep.
But, you know.
That's a thing.
It was like I had a conversation with my sister.
Yep.
And it was just like.
And it resolved all your.
Yeah. And because, you know, I was the positive one. Because my sister passed away of pancreatic cancer. And when she was first diagnosed, I thought the one thing, if you're going to fight this, the one thing is fear.
Yeah.
So I kept saying to her, and I just, even though I regret it sometimes, but I had to justify why. I said, you and I have always talked about the afterlife ever since we were kids. She was 10 years older than me, but we were like twins. And I always used to say that whoever goes first
has to come back.
No, it's the lucky one.
Oh.
Because they get to experience what we've always been curious about. So my sister goes, I can't believe you're sitting here telling me that you're envious. And I said, look, no, I'm not envious of the cancer. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I am envious that you might have a slight chance of experiencing that before me.
Yeah.
You'll probably beat it. But what I want you to know is don't be afraid of death.
Yeah.
Because if you're afraid, then it's going to harm you in your fight for cancer because that fear is going to do that. So that was the reason why I did that.
Yeah.
But I remember friends would laugh at me going, Wayne, that's so. And I said, well, you know, that is something that, you know, I'm not afraid of dying, especially now.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of dying. I'm more afraid of life.
Yes.
And I tell you what, though, it's changed my whole way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Of what's essential, what's important.
That's exactly right.
Like sitting here talking to you,
mm-hmm.
and I often tell people this, like what's essential is black and white to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could spend 2 hours or an hour and a half talking to you,
mm-hmm.
this is my priority of my life at this moment.
Yep.
There is nothing else or nowhere else I'd rather be
mm-hmm.
than speaking to you. That's why I decided, Tammy, do you want to come on?
Yeah.
Because any part of the day,
yep.
when you know, from morning till night, they are essential things I have to do.
Yes.
Because suddenly life becomes about what's essential and what's not. Don't worry about the bullshit.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And concern yourself with what is important
That's
to you.
That's right.
And you know what I found is the things that are most important are the simple things.
Yep.
Yep. You know, the beautiful things.
Yep.
And it was those things, would you believe that? Was what my sister was appreciating. Because she said, you know, she was a highly successful acting teacher. Like her students now are on Netflix, big series. And my sister herself started to get in front of camera and she started to get picked up by Netflix and the Hollywood stuff. And then this happened.
Mm.
But would you believe she never spoke about acting once. It was probably the biggest part of her life. She never spoke about it once. She said, you know, if only I could take a walk beside the river again, if I could see a sunset again, if I could look
That's
at trees
right.
and feel the bark again.
That's right.
If I could eat those toffees I ate when I was young in England. Those were the essential things, family, friends, the love, the nature. And, you know, it changed me. Because suddenly Speaking of nature.
Oh, no, I just heard that.
You know, there's a crow.
I love
somebody.
Crows.
Yeah, there's a crow. They wake me up every morning at 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Because right outside here there's a massive, like this land next to us has, and we're in a city. It's massive trees. So every window you look out from the side.
There's crows.
There's trees.
Full of crows?
Full of birds I've never heard before. And crows, you know.
Yeah.
So for those listeners around the world, there's a crow. But, you know, that changed my perspective.
Yep.
My whole perspective in life changed. All ego left.
Yep. Oh, it has to.
All ego left me. Monetary value, money.
Oh.
Did not think about that anymore. Didn't put any importance in that anymore.
No.
But the negative side was I lost all motivation because my motivation went to other things.
Yeah.
And it took me a while. And then, you know, COVID happened and then, you know, we bought this place and then we renovated. I built a new studio. Everything just went. But now it's, you know, suddenly it's coming through again. But without the ego. And always walking outside, appreciating those things that we normally take for granted, you know?
Yeah. Because anything can happen.
Yeah.
Blink of an eye, you know? And then everybody takes advantage of it. Oh, no, this one happened to me or that one. And that's a big no-no.
Somebody 2 days ago, it was 2 days ago, said to me, this is my 30-year plan. And who was it? I came back and told my wife. And I said, you may not live 30 years. You may not live next week.
That's right.
So, look, for me, I'm not being a pessimist. I'm being
logical.
Well, I'm being logical. I'm a realist now.
Yes, that's
it. The fact is that your biology could fail and it could happen with anything.
Yep.
Do you really think those 3.5 million people thought they were going to pass away from an epidemic that was going to happen
exactly.
like 4 years ago? No. So, you know, whatever you're planning on doing, whatever you love to do.
Live for the day.
Do it.
Day and to day.
It comes across as a motivational speech, but when you go through something so tragic, like somebody's
so close
to you,
it makes you realize.
You realize that at any time.
Yeah.
Don't waste it, you know.
Yep.
Don't waste it. And I hope, you know, people listening to this don't think of it as another motivational speech. It's coming from
a place very real.
Of Well, it's coming from a place of something very tragic that's happened to me, but it's given me a light.
Yeah.
So, Tammy, as I get back to it again, I discovered you on an article, Paranormal Investigator Needs Assistance or Needs Help. And I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. Like how did that come about?
Well, I've been wanting to get a crew for ages because I didn't want to go out my own because that can't be too good at. Like if you go by yourself.
Fuck that.
Yes. Because if anything happens, well, you're screwed pretty much, you know. So I put up an ad and a few people contacted me. Tim McMillan from Channel 9.
It was a good ad.
Yeah, yeah.
I might put it up on the screen.
Yep. And then the Gazette newspaper contacted me up in the hills and said, would you like to do a photo shoot? We're interested in what you have to tell us. I went, no worries.
So you put this ad on your Facebook?
Yeah, yeah. It was on, what was it? The Hills Chat Forum.
Right.
And I just done my thing and stuck up my wacky little, anyone looking, you know, wanting to join a paranormal crew, blah, 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 email me. And I had a lot of people email me.
I bet.
But, they weren't solid.
Yeah.
You know?
Like you were saying before, you wanted someone with passion for.
Yeah, that has a feel for this and is not scared of this. I mean, you're going to get scared anyway, but, you know, someone that could handle and wants to do it. And then the paper contacted me and we were going to go and do it at Mahogany Inn down in Mahogany Creek, I think it's called. So we went to the Mundaring Tavern and it was awesome. Like we went in there, they were setting up the...
Oh, this is the photo shoot.
Yeah, they were setting up the cameras and this and that. And there's a ghost by the name of Henry that resides there. There's another one, but Henry's the more frequent.
From your point of view or from the locals' point of view?
That's Yeah, that everyone knows that there's a.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah. And I'm like, I hope to God I see Henry when I'm there. The locals in the like in the pub.
Yeah.
They've experienced a lot of stuff. There's one by the name of Henry, and there's another one that pushes from memory the girls in the bar. So there's another one that's not so good. And I wanted to go upstairs because apparently that's where most activity happens. And I've asked to investigate, but
oh, this was just the photo shoot.
This was just the photo shoot, working. Right? And I'm like, let me go, but they wouldn't let me do it for their own reasons, you know, publicity. They don't want that kind of thing. And they were setting up the crew, the cameras and everything. And I look up at the staircase and I could just see this massive big orb manifesting into like a person as it was coming down. And I'm like, oh my God, it's that's Henry. And they're like crapping themselves, like, oh, please don't say that. We've only got like 20 minutes left. Please don't. I'm like, this is just mad. You know, but they didn't like it.
The fact that you knew of Henry and then you finally, you saw somebody.
Yeah, he comes straight down, yeah.
You knew it was Henry?
Well,
did he come down and like?
I didn't feel threatened. No, it was like he was coming down, but he wanted to just, oh, yeah, what's going on here? You know, like wanted to suss it out. I didn't feel it was the bad one because I didn't feel. So I just thought it was Henry. It just popped into my head as Henry. So, yeah, and every time I drive past, I go, hi, Henry.
So they took the photo?
Yeah, they took quite a few photos. And I'm like, don't put that up. But, yeah, no, they took a photo and they didn't capture anything because they were setting that up, but they took a lot of me going up the stairs, but they never caught anything. But I think they would have crapped their undies.
But the fact that...
But it would have been awesome if they had have.
Well, I just remember looking at the ad. I saw it on Perth Now.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because I tell people if you want to find out, just put my name in Google and boom, I'm there.
Yeah, and I'm sure people will look at it. Like I'll put a thing up, but they won't be able to read it on a small screen, but or listening to it. But I'll put it in the show notes, maybe an attachment to there or something like that. But what was the sort of response from that? I know you said you got a lot of calls, but no one really stood out to you?
Everybody was saying basically the same thing. Oh, yeah, I love this stuff. I'm fascinated. And I'm like, well, you know, I want someone that can commit. Like, there's probably not going to be a lot that commit like I do. And I've just got a passion for it. I'm addicted to it. And maybe there's not a lot, but someone that's on the same wavelength, you know, like, hey, let's go on an investigation. No sweat ski. Let's pack up and let's go and let's get this done. But I was just finding like, oh, well, I can't do it this weekend. You know, I got basketball. Well,
what's involved in an investigation?
You basically just get approval if it's a place that needs to be approved before you can, because you just can't rock up. We just set up our equipment. And I talked to
them. Oh, you're talking about like actual council approval, not spiritual approval?
No, not spiritual approval.
I'm trying to think.
No, sorry. It's, like if, I can't remember that place that we're going to go to. It was a massive. Can't remember it. But anyway, to go there, we needed to call the manager and you've just got to ask permission. And if they give you the permission, then you can go ahead.
Sure.
If 9 times out of 10, I never even got a reply. So I'm like, well, won't go there. Mm. But, yeah. And then we just rock and roll. Tell them how many people are coming, who we are, and we just go.
Well, what's involved? And for people that don't know, when you investigate, what happens exactly?
Well, basically we talk to the ghosts. I go in there and I've got like all the EMF meters, the EVP recorder, the whole lot, cameras, you set them up, especially if there's one specific room, like it gets all set up, but like I'll just go around and I talk to them, you know, who's here, can you make contact, let the EMF meter go straight up if you're here, touch me if you have to, just stuff like that, just to get that. Proof, the evidence.
Like confirmation.
Yeah, you know, because I basically do it because like after the death of my sister, like that hit me pretty hard and I was only little. I'd already gone through enough and then that and it was always, where is she? You know, I know she's come back and I've had several dreams of her, but I never see her face. And I've always said the minute I see her face is the day I won't wake up.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've always felt. Yeah, always see her and she's all in white. but I never see her face. And then the feeling, I know it's her.
Not in a dream, but physically.
No, like, in a dream.
Oh, in a dream. And you know it's her, but yet you don't see the face.
But these kinds of dreams stand out more than a normal dream.
Yeah.
It's like you feel the dream. You feel you're there. Like you just feel it. It's like the connection.
Yeah.
And that's what you're feeling. Because normal dreams, you're like, oh, I dreamt this. Oh, my God, you know, it's just. But you just know with those kinds of dreams. Yep. So.
Isn't it funny because I know some people have said, I remember listening to this somewhere, they said, you know, but how can you prove that? And somebody said, well, how can you prove love?
Well, this is it, you know.
Have you felt love? Yep. Prove it.
Yeah. It's exactly, you can't.
Feeling, it's really, it's you know. You can't do it.
Unless they've experienced it, well, how can you, you can't.
Do you know?
Yeah, it makes it harder.
The people that are like you, I would say a lot of those people just, they probably just won't, they don't need that.
Validation. Yeah.
So a lot of those people that you're after probably don't come forward.
Yeah.
That see that all the time because they're probably going, I've got enough of that, you know.
Yeah.
Like you've got a curiosity there.
Yeah.
That. Probably they don't, like me, I suppose.
A deep one, like, yeah, you know, I can experience something like I've said and then I'm like, oh, my God, I need more. Can you do something else? And it'll be dramatic or whatever it is and I'm like, can you do something else? It's like always higher, because I want that, you know.
Where does that come from, do you think, that curiosity of I want more?
I don't know. It's like I've just got a connection to it and we're stuck. And
is there a central question you want to answer or it's just you can't explain it?
No, I can't explain it. It's this feeling I get, I'm just attracted to it. Someone goes, oh, there's a ghost here. I'm like, what, where? You know, straight away, show me. We actually went to the Albany jail and there was these two guys there and me and my husband were in a room just looking and the guy goes, oh, look at that, there's ghosts here. And I'm like, what, where are they? And he's like, oh, no, it was just figure of speech, like, no. And I went, well, that's disappointing. Went into another room where I think the female people that were locked up were in there and I've walked in there and as I've walked out, I've had the back of my hair just get pulled, like a typical female prisoner, like, you know. And I just thought, okay. So I just kept walking because I wanted to go and suss everything out, but, yeah.
Thank God I remembered. What's the the one place you've been to here in Western Australia that you just went, oof, or I should say what's been the central station of activity that you've been to, do you think?
You know, I think they've all been the same.
Yeah.
I lived in a house in Rockingham and my younger son goes, Mum, there's a ghost here. I went, I know, I've already picked it up. And there was times when I'd be in the room and I'd hear coughing and I'd say to my son's, he's all right, and they're in the lounge room. And there was another time where my mirrored robes were just going, like going mental, and my son just runs straight past because he knows. He used to see a boy with mousy brown hair. He'd poke his head around the archway and then he'd like want you to chase him. It was like he wanted to tell us something. And I had suspicions in that house that something bad happened and it happened in my bedroom, but I didn't want to go any further into that.
What do you think about because I know people think there's evil spirits and then there's spirits. Or do you believe that? Do you believe there are separate, like, levels? Like, you know, I think some religions call them demons and then you've got different levels of spiritual energy.
I reckon there is.
A bad and a good force.
Yeah, because I think it was about 20 years ago, saw an angel. And so there's got to be different dimensions.
Yeah.
You know, because there's your normal ones, there's your bad ones, and there's the, you know, like, and then, like, I've seen angels. I was cured of a flu within 1 minute. I've seen this angel. And it felt like I slept all night. Because I had the flu, it was really bad. And I'm like, I put my boys to bed early, checked my son's sugar levels. And I'm like, I've just got to go to bed. And that, I went to bed and I'm like, oh, God, please, can you just make me feel good? Like, I just feel so cold. I just feel terrible. Can you at least, like, give me a good night's sleep? And I don't know what happened after that. It was like something from behind came up and touched the back of my head, and then boom, I was somewhere else. And I know it sounds wacky as it, you know, but an angel stood to the left and she came up, and I remember her saying, everything's going to be all right, you know. And I've looked at her and she said, there's two angels to the right. And they got a magic blanket. She said, just keep this magic blanket on. It'll make you better. I'm like, and then I looked and seen, you know, the cherubs? There was two of them, pure happiness. Like, that's all their energy is just pure happiness. The blanket dropped. It fell on me from where, like, from everything that was going on. Looked to the left, the angel was gone. Looked to the right, they were gone. The alarm clock was 8:31 before I said, dear God, please help me. Pulled the blanket up thinking, oh, man, you know, it was the best night's sleep I'd ever had. I felt comfortably warm, no sweatsky. And I felt like I slept through the night, like into early morning, because I was supposed to get up at 12 o'clock to check my son's sugar levels, and then at 2 o'clock, and I freaked, thinking I slept straight through and I didn't get it. Jumped straight up out of bed, and I looked at the alarm clock and thought, what the? Still set 8:31. I went out and checked my son, and even he said, Mom, you just went to bed. You just checked my levels. I went, okay, all right, you know, go back to sleep.
And you were feeling fine.
No, I didn't feel threatened, didn't feel anything. I woke up, didn't have the flu.
Wow.
Yeah. And I sat there and thought, whoa, like I didn't feel threatened by anything. It just felt warmth and just so comfortable, like, you know, that comfortable feeling you get when you're at home and you're safe. That's how I felt. And I sat there thinking, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
So then I went out into the lounge room and sat there to process everything. And I just felt honored. I felt blessed, because who else has that happen?
But do you know, like the question for me is, you know, like you've got people that can experience and see and people that just don't their whole life. Why do you think you were chosen?
Oh, gosh, I wish I knew. That's my biggest question. Because even my young son says, why do we have this? And I went, because we're special. Like, we're different. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe because we can handle a lot of stuff.
Maybe. And that's probably why the investigation. Are you here to help people?
Yeah.
Do you know, because if people, I hate to bring it up, but I go back to that movie, like The Sixth Sense. Because it had, because you got to remember the director and writer was from an in culturally Indian spiritual background, right? And the theme of that was helping people.
Yep.
You know, like you need to help people.
Yep.
And that's why we've probably given you this. But then again, some people just like don't want to know, you know, like they're scared of that.
Yes.
Do you think that's probably what draws you into investigation and going to houses and things like that? So, you know, indirectly you want that confirmation.
Yep.
But indirectly you're helping the people that are there.
Yes.
To get some sort of closure, maybe.
Yep.
Maybe that's it.
Because they put things into my head, but I'm a little slow. I hear it and I'm like, but I just have a hard time trying to put it together. And it's not until after the fact it's like, oh, that's why that happened.
Mm.
It's just hard, because when I hear spirits talk, they're in this ear. And they're really close, but it's like mumbles.
What do you mean, in one ear?
Just in my left ear.
Really?
It's like they're right there and they're but I can't make out what they're saying. That's what frustrates me the most about that. There's no clear conversation like we hear each other now. It's just
Do you think you have to silence yourself?
I'm pretty silent when that happens. Like, it takes me by surprise. I'm like, oh, here we go. But it'll only be if something bad, like really bad's going to happen and it's like really close. And then I hear the whisper and I'm like, oh, my God, okay, I know what's going on. So I can distinguish things that way. I can't really understand what they're saying. And the more I listen, it's hard.
Wow.
Yeah. So I can hear growls perfectly clear in that ear.
Yeah.
You know?
That would scare the crap out of me.
Takes a lot, especially at that school. Like it was, it knew, it was trying to tell me something. And I said to them after it was all out in the open, someone was murdered on these grounds in this school, and it's where this sewing room has been built. They're like, you're whacked, whatever. I'm like, I'm serious. You do your research. Because it was trying to get my attention to say, hey, this is what's happened and it's been unresolved.
Yeah.
And I told them about it, and a week later they came back up and they said, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. There was a murder that took place on the grounds before the school was built, and it was specifically where that sewing room was built on. And even when I came out of the home ec, because I had to come out of sewing in home ec, come out, I would see it. I'd be out and it'd run out and then run back to the other room.
That freaks me out. Is it because the person doesn't know they're dead and that's why they're still here? Or is it they don't choose to go where they're meant to go because they need to resolve?
Yeah, it was more that feeling. It was more the fact that I need you to do this so I can go. This needs to be solved before I can go.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's been a few, but like sometimes it takes me a while if they're not direct and I don't get that feeling and I just hear the mumbles.
Is it similar with people that you've met that have what you've got? Do the messages come differently?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't always just come with whispers in the air, or they could get it from different things.
Yeah, like I'll even see him. I might not get the whispers. I used to clean for this lady's house and I'd been there on several occasions. And I'm like, all right, I'm getting a little bit jack of this now. So I'm in there and it was like I heard someone coughing that I could smell smoke. And I'm like, what's going on here? She had all spiritual stuff in her lounge room. And then there was a grandparent and another grandparent. And then I walked into another room and once again, it was like Grand Central Station. I just kept hearing all these voices and movements. And I'm thinking, all right. And then the two strong ones that came out was the grandparents. I felt like a form of protection for that family. So I just got sick of it and I said, look, do you mind if I just talk to you about something? How are you on the spectrum of spiritualism? Do you believe in that sort of stuff? She said, yeah, for sure. I said, well, I've been harassed by a grandmother and a grandfather, and her eyes lit up. And she said, I've been to three psychics have said the same thing. I said, they're just running around in this house. Like, and they know I can see them and they won't leave me alone. So I have to tell you that they're here protecting you. Never had it after that.
Wow.
Wow. Yep. So there's all different things. Like it's just a mixed bag of lollies with me. It's just all different.
Yeah.
This, that. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about this is why I get it? Like we were just talking about just then, you go, I don't know the question. I don't know the answer. That's the biggest question. But I think it could be something as simple as you're here to give closure to people.
Yep. I believe that. I wouldn't have been given this gift if I wasn't meant to do something with it. You know, it scares a lot of people, but that's what I think.
Does the thought of death, I know there is energy and you go somewhere, does death scare you in a way of, if this is what's happening to me, I know there's spirits around that's there.
They're always
there. I don't want to be one of them.
I don't think about it like that.
Because I always think, you know, what are they still doing here?
It's because I can see them.
No, but I'm saying if I die, I don't want to think that I'm going to be hanging around. If there is an afterlife, I don't want to know that I'm still around here.
I think in the spirit worlds, you can be in the spirit world, but if somebody is thinking of that particular spirit in the spirit world, I believe that brings them to them a little bit.
Sure.
You know, they can sort of pop in and go. But just the heaven and hell thing, I don't really. You be a bad boy, you're going to hell. Mm. You know, like, because the way I see it, everyone goes, well, God made us the way we are. So therefore, why would he judge us and send us to hell when he made us this way?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Like, to me it doesn't make sense. But, yeah, I believe the spirit world can pop in and pop out.
Do you know, I read somewhere, and this was quite smart, that they said that, and this is not me, anybody. it said that religion was created to keep the poor from killing the rich.
Yeah, probably.
When I read that, I just pissed myself laughing. I thought, that makes sense as well, you know.
Yes.
So are you still looking for people?
Absolutely. I said to my husband the other week, I really should put it back up, but I just get a little bit depleted because I'm so excited. I've just got so much energy for this. I want to rock and roll.
Yeah.
I want to get this. And then I just, can you email me back? And
well, who knows? There could be a tidal wave coming your way after this podcast.
Oh, heaven.
Do you know
I need my tribe.
Oh, God, I don't know what I've done to you. You're going to be cursing me probably in a week.
Nope, I won't.
Wayne, I'm getting these messages from Brazil and Singapore and, God, they all want to, somehow help. But, you should start a podcast.
I actually had someone say that.
You don't need a lot. Trust me, if I can do it, anyone can do it. You don't need any of this. If you're just doing audio.
Yep.
You could start one with just your phone.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And I think, coming from someone like you that's passionate, it means that every time you talk, you will have, and it's quite niche, so you'll only attract those people that are into that.
Yeah.
And I reckon you should. I think anyone should start a podcast. I think it's great fun because I wouldn't get to talk to you like this. What are the chances you and I'd catch up for coffee and have an hour and a half talk if I didn't have
Zero,
a podcast?
Zero, probably.
So I get to meet I get really interesting people coming here and I think you should do it because you don't know who you'd attract and I think that could be a good way.
Well, I'm writing my book on all the experiences that I've had, so I want to get that done. Like I said, I'm starting up my creative writing course.
Yeah.
And I just want to smash it, and have that out and just,
I think you should start a podcast.
And I want to plug myself because I've always been drawn back. Like, you go and do this boring stuff at work, work's not that cool, but it's like someone else is calling me all the time.
Yeah.
And I can feel the pull.
Yeah.
And now that I'm going to write my book and hopefully get stuck into the paranormal more, I just feel like I'm where I'm meant to be.
Yeah. I think so. And that's probably why this happened.
I nearly fell off the chair I got your message.
You know how circumstances happen and suddenly we're here talking about this.
Yes.
And who knows what this could bring to you,
Yeah.
But, I'm always interested in this subject because there's a curiosity in me, anyway.
Yep, see?
And I just like to talk about it because I think talking to you, suddenly things start to click.
Yep.
And go, I believe in that. I do believe in that, So if people do want to find you, where can they find you?
You can email me. Oh, on Facebook? You can find me on Facebook?
Yeah.
I'll
put it in the show notes for people.
There's email. You can just zip me an email.
Which one should I give that you don't get, 600 crazies emailing you? Did you want them to come to your Facebook or to...
Yeah, they can come to my Facebook.
And I'm not saying they're all crazy.
No,
I'm
just saying
in this subject
matter. Well, we've got to be a little crazy.
In this subject matter, you're going to get, serious people and then you're going to get.
Yes.
You know,
So I've had that.
Would Facebook be better for you or email?
Well, if there's a flood, maybe both.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll put your Facebook contact in the show notes and your email.
Yep.
In the context.
Yep.
And I'll also put a link to that article. So if people want to read more about what what you're into and what you've done and what you are after then, I thought that article was really good. But maybe come back in a couple of months and then we'll have a chat on your progression of where you are things like that. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tammy.
I love it.
Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome, Wayne. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See ya.